This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
The whole goal here is to get people out of cars, to get them out of car ownership, to reduce the amount of miles people are driving, and to help clean the air.
Shared mobility. It's a concept that might be a little foreign to the millions of Americans who get in their cars by themselves every day and embark on a solo, carbon-intensive, oh-so-individual drive to wherever they need to go. But there are new converts to the shared mobility model every day. City Car Share is a San Francisco Bay Area-based nonprofit that provides its members with temporary cars. The organization's mission is actually to take cars off the road by allowing more city dwellers to eschew car ownership altogether. This week on Sea Change Radio, I sit down with the CEO of City Car Share, Rick Hutchinson, to discuss the ins and outs of the car sharing industry, how it works, who makes money from it, and why it offers a more sustainable alternative to the status quo. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Rick Hutchinson. He's the CEO of City Car Share. Rick, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Well, thanks for having me.
First, why don't you tell our listeners around the country who are not familiar with what City Car Share does? What is the organization all about?
Well, City Car Share is a 14-year-old nonprofit based here in the Bay Area. We offer shared mobility services, which is a new way of saying we offer car sharing. We like to say that we exist to help the Bay Area become a better place to live, work, play, and breathe.
And it's a nonprofit.
We are a nonprofit.
And that's unusual in the car share space.
Well, it didn't used to be unusual. In fact, many of the car sharing organizations that have started around the world, primarily in Europe and in North America, began as either nonprofits or co-ops. As the idea became expanded, and as people became more aware of it, for-profit entities came in and they had some money, and they've really done a good job of helping to expand knowledge of car sharing and its benefits. But the nonprofit model is different, and we continue to be very mission-focused and continue to operate in a slightly different way.
So why don't you draw some distinctions? We have the ones that I'm familiar with here in the Bay Area are Zipcar, for example. That's a for-profit model, correct?
That's correct.
So how do you, and just for argument's sake, why don't you draw some distinctions between Zipcar and City Car Share, if you
will? Well, there's two ways to talk about how our models are different. Now, first of all, they operate similarly for day-to-day use. But because we're a nonprofit, we focus much more on programs and educational efforts. So an example of programs that we have that are quite frankly unique in the industry are our Access Mobile. Access Mobile are wheelchair accessible vehicles because we felt we needed to serve the disabled community as well. We have the only program in the country, although we're helping other car share organizations put in Access Mobile type services as well. We have the only formal low and moderate income program that I'm aware of in North America as well. We have a program very specifically focused on low income families to help them get rid of a car or not have to own a car so that they can save money that way and still have access to transportation, primarily through a variety of vehicles that we offer. We have a program for affordable housing. We have a program for students. We have a program with Next Village, which is a senior nonprofit that provides ways for seniors to get around through volunteers using our vehicles. We provide a lot of programs that just aren't provided necessarily through other organizations. So that's one part of the model. The other part of the model that's very important is how we place cars, where we place cars, and how we price cars. And they tend to be tend to do this very differently than the for-profit providers out there. And it doesn't mean either one is better or worse necessarily. It meets different needs. Our process is to actually provide pricing where the hourly fee for using a car is lower, and then there's a small per mile charge, because most people go very short distances but aren't aware or aren't sure how long they'll need to keep a car. So if you keep the hourly cost low, then people feel more comfortable using it. They don't have to worry so much about the extra buck it may cost them to stay out at extra, you know, hour or a half hour. And it actually lowers the cost of being able to utilize a car sharing car. So that part of the model is very oriented toward both the equity issues, but also in keeping the cost of car sharing as low as possible so more people can have access to it.
So you had mentioned how City Car Share has focused its model from a consumer standpoint on more long-term usage, not hourly. So why don't you break that down? If I were a potential customer and I wanted to use City Car Share, how much would it cost me?
We have several programs. And again, if you're a low-income family, you may have a different program. If you are a senior, you may have a different program as well. But in general, for most individuals, not businesses, we have different programs for businesses too, but for most individuals, most people would pay, have cars that range from around $5 an hour to around $8 an hour for most weekday driving. Then they'll pay a fee per mile. Because based on literally hundreds of thousands of trips that are taken a year, we know that 90% of all trips taken with City Car Share are below 30 miles round trip. So effectively, when you're paying a small per mile fee, you're not paying much for that. But because the fee that we charge for cars is anywhere from 50 to 100% less than some of the for-profit providers in this area who charge only an hourly fee. You can keep the car a lot longer. You don't have to worry about traffic or an accident. You don't have to worry about your meeting going long, and it will still cost you less. Based on studies that have been done by third parties, the cost for driving City Car Share is somewhere between 20 and 50% less than some of the other providers out there.
And how does that contrast to leasing a car? Why don't you break down, like, somebody who uses it, let's say, twice a week for 2 hours a week, what kind of expected charge would they be looking at?
So let's use AAA data. So we'll use a third party again who does this. They say that it costs somewhere between $600 and $800 a month to own a car here in the Bay Area. Our average user spends about $60 a month. To be able to use a car. A power user, someone who's using it quite often, a few times a week, for example, might spend $150. So there's a significant...
A month.
There is significant savings in using car sharing over owning a car. One of the arguments is, well, I have an old car, I've already paid off my car, and so on. Even at that point, over time, it's still going to cost you somewhere between $400 and $500 a month. Maintenance, gas, insurance, all of that is covered by car sharing. Standard car sharing model, in case I didn't mention it, is you pay a fee for usage only, and that fee covers the use of the car during the time, gas or fuel, in our case, electricity, because we have probably the greenest fleet in car sharing in the country right now. Yeah, it's we have a lot of plug-in vehicles too. So either electricity or gas is covered. Insurance is a huge issue, Alex. The fact is that different providers provide different levels of protection. So we can talk a little bit about that if you like. In our case, it includes roadside assistance. And obviously, with car sharing, the cars live in a certain spot. So it includes reserved parking. So you don't have to worry about driving around the block when you return the car. You can find parking right there. So that's pretty common with a lot of car sharing organizations.
What's the upfront cost to start to get going?
So this is going to vary widely by car sharing organizations. We are a membership organization, so we have different programs. It ranges from $25 a year for some student and senior programs to $10 a month for a program that would provide service to most people. The fact is we realize that some people only need a car every once in a while, and we really encourage that. We encourage people to walk, bike, take public transit if they can, and only use a car when needed. And in those kind of programs, perhaps you need a car three times a year. Well, we want to make sure you can use us and there isn't a financial barrier in place. For those who use a car more often, they may have a program that where they pay a little less every time they use it, but there's a membership fee that may be monthly instead. When we had our 10th anniversary a few years ago, we decided to look to the future and say, what do we really want to do to affect the Bay Area? We came up with three aspirational goals. One of them was to take 20,000 cars off the road in the Bay Area by 2020. And we're well on our way to do it. A third-party study says we've taken over 17,000 cars off the road already. Number two, we said we wanted to have at least 50% of our fleet be battery-based in some way or alternative fuel. And we reached that last year. We actually, 54% of our fleet today has some kind of battery electrical power, from hybrids to plug-in electric vehicles to full battery electric vehicles. And the third kind of audacious goal was we wanted to save the Bay Area $1 billion over the cost of car ownership by 2020. And last year, again, based on the third-party calculations, we helped our members save $100 million over the cost of car ownership.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking with the CEO of City Carshare, Rick Hutchinson. So, Rick, you had mentioned how your fleet has been at the forefront of trying to use electricity, hybrid vehicles. Explain how you worked with the city to try to accelerate the use or the presence of charging stations.
The Bay Area made a decision a few years ago, like many larger regional communities, that they wanted to extend and expand the use of electric vehicles, and they knew they had to put in infrastructure. So here in the Bay Area, they've done a great job. From Berkeley to San Francisco down to San Jose, they have utilized federal funds, they have utilized some state funds, and they are putting in infrastructure. Unfortunately, some of that infrastructure wasn't available to us in the car sharing or the shared mobility community. So we had to find some way to help extend the electric vehicle infrastructure as well. So that means putting in charging stations. So we became friends with people at ChargePoint. We joined the local EV Bay Area Strategic Council. We actually found some federal money to also put in EV charging stations. And so at this point, we have put in or helped participate in putting in somewhere up to 100 different charging locations in the Bay Area, of which about 60 of them are for City Car Share, and the others are supportive of the public or a business, for example. We actually have a program and a partnership with Toyota, who's been extremely progressive in their thinking about this, out in a suburban area at an office park where we're putting in an all-electric fleet to serve people who can take bus, shuttle, or public transit, in our case BART, to this suburban location where they go to work, and then have access to a car sharing vehicle when they need to go on a business appointment or go out to lunch or do an appointment during the day. And we're very excited by that program called Dash.
I'm glad you brought up the suburbs, because some cities are in America are very different from San Francisco in terms of the way they're spread out, in terms of the way people use their cars. Maybe you can talk about some of the other programs in other cities where the challenges are different. For example, Atlanta or Houston, Los Angeles, some of these more spread out cities. How do they try to tackle such a large area that not only includes the core city, but the urban and the suburban, exurban areas?
Well, it's a great question, and one that people are still trying to find an answer to. The fact is that classic car sharing, which is a round trip model. Car lives in a place, you go pick it up, you do what you need to with the car, and you return it to that location. Works well when you have a lot, when you have high density and when you have good public transit, because people need a way of getting around that doesn't require them to own a car. So where you have locations, you have certain cities where it's very difficult because of the lack of public transit or the lack of alternatives to be able to get through their commute or into the city, you have some problems. Technology has really helped expand the opportunities here. So what you see now is different kinds of shared mobility models, is what the sharing economy is calling it, where you have apps to be able to effectively get into a personally owned taxi service. You have peer-to-peer car sharing, which is popping up around the country too. This is a model where you who owns a car would make it available when you're not using it to somebody else who maybe needs a car occasionally. Unfortunately, those models tend to be focused right now on urban areas, but we, City Car Share, has worked on legislation in various, at the federal and at the state level, to promote the use of those services and to help legislate acceptance of those services in suburban and what we'll call second city areas. The whole goal here is to get people out of cars, to get them out of car ownership, to reduce the amount of miles people are driving, and to help clean the air. And that's what City Car Share is all about.
How does an organization like City Car Share carve out storage space, for lack of a better word? You probably have another term for it, parking spaces where you keep these cars. And that seems like you were talking about, you need to be big or go home. You have to kind of have some kind of critical mass for it to be convenient for enough people to use.
All car sharing organizations need real estate. And in general, you don't own that real estate. You don't own those locations. So you're reliant on garages. You're reliant on buildings. You're reliant to some extent on government, local municipalities, to provide you with parking spaces. We pay for all of our parking spaces. 100% of our parking spaces either are paid for by City Car Share, or because of a need, for example, for a building to have car sharing, they have donated them, those spaces, to us so that we can put cars in those spaces.
For example, like a company that has employees that use it, or there's a need for them, or a desire for their employees to use City Car Share, they'll donate or set aside some City Car Share spaces in their building, for example?
That we would love more of that if we can find that. That happens occasionally. But we have a program, as I said, for affordable housing. We'll go to any affordable housing development in the area we operate in, and we'll put cars in there if they'll give us the parking spots. We'll even, if we can, if it makes sense, we'll even put an electric infrastructure. We'll put charging stations in there that will serve people who have electric cars, but also serve our cars as well.
So getting back to the suburban and the sprawling metropolises around the country, can the car sharing industry incorporate some of the bike sharing industry's template, which is take a bike, leave a bike kind of thing? You were talking about how one of the things that separates you from some of the other car sharing companies is that you don't focus too much on having the meter ticking. Your pricing model is for a longer term, a few hours instead of just half an hour here or there. But if you were driving, let's say, in Atlanta, you pretty much have to drive at least half an hour to get anywhere, I've noticed from when I've been to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to go from Marietta to Decatur and then spend a few hours there, could you drive that car from Marietta to Decatur, dump the car, and then pick up another one? So you're not feeling like you're on the clock the whole time.
Right.
Because it's not just the pricing as much as the psychology of not feeling like the meter's running on your life. And I think that's one thing that is a barrier for a lot of people to embrace it.
It's great. It's a great comment. And the fact is that car sharing is designed for shorter term local trips in general. But we recognized years ago that in order to help people also get rid of a car or their second car, you need it to be able to meet multiple needs. So we actually have a flat rate pricing program. You still have to return the car, but it's one price. It's a flat rate. It's relatively inexpensive because it includes gas and insurance and the roadside assistance and all that. So if you were going to go from Atlanta to Decatur, you could pay one kind of capped fee that would allow you to go and spend as much time as you need and not worry about the clock running. So we absolutely do offer that. Additionally, kind of unique with City Car Share, you can also take the car for 15 minutes. We've had people who are taking their kids to school in the morning and doing a carpool thing, and they need that car. Literally, they can pick it up, take the kids to school, pick up a couple other kids along the way, and be back in 15 minutes, and they just set it up every day that way. So with us, you can take it also for 15 minutes and only pay, again, that for us, 15 minutes might cost you $2. Well, I'm not bragging, babe, so don't put me down. But I've got the fastest set of wheels in town. When something comes up to me, he don't even try. Cause if he had a set of wings, man, I know she could fly. She's my little loose coupe. You don't know.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Rick Hutchinson. He's the CEO of City Car Share. So, Rick, we were both recently at this sharing economy conference, and one of the hot topics in a lot of the panel discussions was the explosion of Lyft and Uber and these alternative taxi companies. So maybe you could just speak to if you consider Lyft and Ubers of the world a threat, or is this something that you think is going to be part of the shared mobility model that you were speaking about?
One of the unique aspects of running a service business, an operational business, but also being a nonprofit, is that you often are very supportive of services that potentially compete with you too. In the case of the Lyft, Uber, and sidecars of the world, we have another case where there was a market gap and someone tried to fill it. And it was fueled by innovation. So all these companies came up with a technology and an innovative idea that allowed the Ubers of the world, the sidecars of the world, to provide on-demand cars that are owned by other people. So the idea here makes a lot of sense, and it should work in most cities that need an extension of their public transportation network. Where it gets complex and very controversial is when the laws and policy aren't designed to support it or to regulate it in a way that is fair to the existing infrastructure, the existing status quo. So we have this big problem here. City Car Share is a big supporter of innovation, and anything that provides another option where people don't have to own a car and reduces vehicle miles traveled and so on. The problems with it, obviously, are with the taxi industry. A lot of people making a living for a lot of years who have invested a tremendous amount of money into what they do, and all of a sudden there's different rules for different people. In California, the PUC addressed it head on, and we did provide some information to the PUC on our position on it, what we thought worked and what we thought didn't work. And I think they've done a pretty good job of at least focusing attention here in California. Other cities and other states around the country are struggling with this. Some of them, I was just speaking with the city of San Diego, actually the region of San Diego down there, and they are encouraging these services to come down there and to work with the taxi companies to provide better service down there. Others are actually blocking the use of these services. Some major cities in the country right now are ticketing and fining the companies, and it quite frankly is a reaction to not knowing what to do because innovation got ahead of policy.
Talking about technology and policy, mm-hmm. kind of running neck and neck, one of the areas that's often discussed is parking. We've had Donald Shoup on Sea Change Radio, one of the godfathers of parking policy. Right. He's written a book, The High Cost of Free Parking. It would seem like car sharing has a nice niche in places like San Francisco with very expensive parking.
Yeah, parking is the key to a lot of shared mobility in urban environments. Once you get out of the high-dense, high-demand areas, it changes changes a bit.
Sure.
But for what we're seeing in cities, at least, is that that parking is a very dear resource, and it can be quite expensive to get parking. So the answer is yes. Having a car share service. And City Car Share provides about 230 locations and about 430 cars in our operating area. Those locations are sometimes in garages and a little, and serve a very specific area. In other cases, they're in open lots, but those locations can be can go away at any given time. So in the Bay Area, as is happening in some other cities around the country, they're looking at on-street parking. On-street parking is where you actually would have a City Car Share car parked on the street, either in a designated spot that used to have a meter, or hopefully you can not take away meters and you'll be in other spots. This is also very controversial, and it comes down to a very important, not just philosophical, but policy-based issue, and that is you're talking about the public right of way. With any shared transportation resource, you're talking about use of the public right of way. That's the streets, it's the roads, it's parking on the sides of the road. This is a very controversial thing because many people feel an entitlement to parking spaces. And Donald Shoup will tell you this, that there's no way that people are paying individually for the value they get from utilizing the public good. The fact is that it is provided to all of us to benefit. So when you have parking on the street, even if it's filled with cars, somebody is being served by that, and hopefully you have turnover. With City Car Share, again, we have third-party studies that show that every car we put out there, we take between 9 and 14 cars off the road. So when we go into a neighborhood with a couple of cars, we are actually, over a period of time, removing cars, and therefore demands on parking are less in that neighborhood. Yet that's a very difficult thing for an individual who lives there to get their head wrapped around. They're used to parking in a spot or on a street when they're coming home from work. And now there's a car space that they can no longer use. And it's completely understandable. We get it. So City Car Share will try to work with that neighborhood. We actually go out and we talk with merchants. We talk with individuals. We talk with building owners. Where would it make sense to put that car on the street? We don't want to create a situation where, obviously, there's unknowns in any neighborhood where that's not a good spot to put it. But ultimately, when a City Car Share goes into a neighborhood on the street, it actually provides, over time, more available parking for those who, for whatever reason, have to have a car. For merchants, it ensures more turnover because there's fewer cars looking for spaces. It can be a very positive thing. Part of what City Car Share does is we try to help the merchants and help the individuals, the residents in that area, understand that.
He's the CEO of City Car Share, Rick Hutchinson. Rick, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Cadillac Jones, The Clash, and The Beach Boys. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability.
For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.